Today we continue our series of sermons on the churches of Revelation. We're looking at Smyrna, or the suffering church that is found in Revelations 2, 8 through 11. And as we examine that church, there's some very important things we need to remember. First of all, why was there suffering in Smyrna? Now, as we look at John, he was the last living apostle of the Lord. He had been present, and he saw the many miracles of our Lord. He had heard the sermons of Jesus. He had been at the special teaching moments from Jesus. He saw the resurrected Lord. He was present at the ascension. He participated in the 10-day prayer meeting between Jesus' ascension and the day of Pentecost. He was the part of the beginning of the New Testament church, and he helped establish the foundational doctrines of the church. He wrote 5 books in the New Testament. Then we find John writing Revelation in his exile on Patmos. He was breaking rocks in hard labor because of his preaching of Jesus as Lord, the Son of the living God. He preached Christ crucified, buried, resurrected, ascended, and soon will be coming back. That's the point of Revelation, that Jesus is coming soon. Now, John believed that wrote the book of Revelation about the mid-90s. He was about 95 years old, most of us believe. He moved to Ephesus after the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in AD 70. He became the leader of the church at Ephesus, and he cared for the other churches and the pastors in the Asia Minor world. The pastors of those 7 churches were believed to be visiting John on the Isle of Patmos when John received and copied the letter. And as he gave the letter to those 7 men, the scroll, they went back to their churches, and they went from church to church to church and read the scroll to the congregation. And that pastor would stay, and the others would keep going until they went all the way to Laodicea. Now, as you look at the word Smyrna, it means myrrh. Myrrh was a substance that was often used with perfume to anoint dead bodies. It was a part of that process of embalming the bodies as they buried them. It was much different than what we do today. Myrrh was one of those items that were brought by the Magi as a gift to the baby Jesus, the King of the Jews. Myrrh was the sweet smelling, but it had a bitter taste to it. Myrrh and aloes were mixed together with some old wine, and as it was given to Jesus on the cross, it's a way of trying to soothe this pain in those last hours. Now, Smyrna was called the crown of Asia. It was a present-day city of Izmir, Turkey. It was considered the most beautiful city in the world at that time. Smyrna was at the center of science and medicine at the time that John wrote his letter. Smyrna was always on the winner side of the Roman wars. They chose to be a part of Rome. But Smyrna was also interested, and they gave loyalty to Rome, and there was very strong emperor worship in Smyrna. There was a law at that time that you had to say Caesar is Lord. And if you didn't say Caesar is Lord, you would be punished and persecuted. Well, those early believers in the church refused. They would only say Jesus is Lord. And so they fell under great persecution. For the Jews now, suffering meant punishment from God. And it was a way that most people today think. Even Job, the righteous man, received suffering, and he could not understand what was going on. But in the New Testament believer's mind, suffering is a privilege if you're suffering for Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, in his writings, said it's a privilege to suffer for Christ. Do you know that other parts of the world pray for us in America because we don't have to suffer for Jesus like they do in other parts of the world? But the New Testament saw suffering as a teaching tool. God sanctifying them, God setting them apart, God teaching them and conforming them to the nature and the character of Christ. That would mean we would be more like Jesus. Hence that first time that they were called little Christ or Christians, Christ-like people. Now, as we today hear and see the name it and claim it religionists, we see the health and wealth teachings that are out there. Many people believe that if you have enough faith, and only good will come to you as a follower of Christ. Bad things happen to you because you don't have enough faith. That's contrary to what the Bible teaches us. Many unbelievers say the same type of thing. If there was a God that loved me, then this bad thing would not have happened to me. But that's not reality. It is arrogance on a part of a man to think that God who created and sustained the universe, the God who saves people from hell, the God that loves us in spite of our sin, is bound to do just like we want him to do or we demand that he do. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's foolish to think that the Holy Spirit of God is required to do our bidding and provide for our every wish and whim simply because we want something. Please understand clearly, suffering is an internal and integral part of the teaching tools of the Heavenly Father. Suffering in the church at Smyrna was a tool that provided an opportunity to show their faithfulness unto death and even the crown of life. Remember, John's writing and he's sharing a reminder for the believers in Smyrna that this is a great reminder that the white hot persecution and pressure that they felt was because of their faith in Jesus. And that's exactly what happened to him. Because of him, because of his teachings, because of the way he loved, because he confronted religion day in and day out, he suffered persecution. Paul suffered persecution. We hear that every one of the original apostles died a martyr's death because of their faithfulness to Christ. Can we doubt it would happen to us? Look with me at what God said, what Jesus said to the church in Smyrna. In the second chapter of Revelation, verses 8 through 11, write to the angel of the church in Smyrna, thus says the first and the last, the one who was dead but came to life. I know your afflictions and poverty, but you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews but are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. Look, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison and test you, and you will experience affliction for 10 days. Be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Let anyone who has ears hear, listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will never be harmed by the second death. Father, we pray now that you would help us understand John's words, that we would apply them to our lives. 2,000 years later, and even the Lord hasn't come back yet, help us understand that the reality of suffering can happen, will happen, and it will be our privilege to demonstrate Jesus even in the midst of suffering today. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, Jesus knows your afflictions. That's what John said in quoting the Lord Jesus. I know what you're experiencing. I know your afflictions, the things that are happening to you. I know the last detail. Remember, he's already said, I walk among you. He is talking to the believers that were being put to death because of their faith. He was talking to believers that their homes and jobs and money were being taken away from them. And Jesus knew this, and he was encouraging them. You are suffering because of your faith. The members of the church at Smyrna were shunned and stripped of everything they owned. Their homes, their businesses were being taken away from them. Are they being destroyed? Like the Muslim world today, that's happening there. In a Muslim and in other cultures, a person coming to faith in Christ will be killed as an apostate, as an abandoner of the faith. And they were plunged into poverty. They were being slandered and lied about and were living with great pain. Jesus said, I know what is ahead. I know what's coming. You think you're in poverty, but you are rich. You are rich, for I am with you. You know, we think the same thing today. Many of us grew up in poor homes, and we've talked about it, what it was like for us, and how it was when that kind of environment that was there, and how difficult it was. But we didn't realize it because everybody else was in the same shape. But as he's talking to the church at Smyrna, they were great leaders in their community. They were faithful people. Yet when they trusted faith in Christ, they were rejected. You know, there's a cliche to say that says the safest place to be is in God's will. Wrong. The safest place to be in our dying world is in obedience to God. That's what our friend Nick Richton says. With all that's going on in the world, even if we're in the center of God's will, we can be persecuted, we can be killed, we can be destroyed. All those things will happen to us. And if we're in obedience to Christ, it doesn't matter what happens. We're serving a living Lord, and we will spend eternity with him in hell, heaven, not in hell. The Lord says, do not be afraid to suffer. The book of Acts is full of suffering of Paul and his band of preachers. When we find believers dying throughout the book of Acts and in the New Testament church, because of their faith in Jesus Christ and their preaching of Jesus as Lord. He said, don't be afraid. Hold to your faith in the living Lord. I am with you, and nothing can happen to us that will catch Jesus by surprise. In Revelation 2:9, he said, I know your affliction and poverty, but you are rich. I know the slander of those that say they are of the Jews, but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. I know the slander of those that you are hearing from the Jews and they're bringing to bear on you. But notice what he called them. They were of the church of Satan. They were of the synagogue of Satan, which is a rejection of the Messiah. Judaism had become a tool of Satan. And in the emperor worship they were doing, all of that was fighting that early church as they tried to serve the living Lord. But nothing in our world can overwhelm Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:20 said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, there are times when I grow despondent and I grow discouraged. Like some of the Old Testament prophets and David and others, I find myself in a cave. It may not be a literal cave, but it's a place where I'm shut in and it's dark and it's foreboding and I don't know what to do. It's only then when I connect with Christ that is illuminated and changed and I am freed once again. That's what he's talking about here. You are always, always in the mind of Christ. The eternal presence of the Lord Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit that is in every one of us knows every step of the way that we're going. And for all of time, when we receive Christ and make him Lord, we can press forward because there is coming a day we will be at the throne of grace to live for all of eternity. John was very plain in other parts of the book of Revelation of what that experience is going to be like. Nothing else will matter. We talk about all the things that we're going to do, but I am firmly convinced when we get in the presence of Holy God, there is nothing going to be a part of us but worship and praise, because we escape the reality and the presence of hell. He said the great shepherd will walk with us every step of the way, even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We've had a lot of people recently that have walked through that valley. There are others that are facing it, that are beginning it. There are all kinds of things that are going on with our health and our families. And so we've got to face the reality. These things are going to happen, but we need Jesus. He's here if we will just depend upon him and we'll trust him. Notice what he said. This means we, like the church at Smyrna, are going to endure persecution. Don't miss the fact that the church is under great persecution. It's the one that received the only praise for the Lord. That church only received praise from the Lord as he talked about them. Their eyes were on the Lord. Their obedience was to the Lord. Their faithfulness was to the Lord. And they held nothing else but Jesus. And he was the source of their strength and power and ability to live. And he walked with them through every persecution that came the way. But Jesus always sets limits on suffering. Revelation 2:10, don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Look, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison and test you, and you will experience affliction for 10 days. Be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. You will have tribulation for 10 days. Now, we don't know if that means that it's going to be 10 24-hour days. What we do know is that he is saying to us that that experience will be limited. It's not going to be ongoing. It's not going to be long. But in all possibility, that limited amount of time, that short, bearable amount of time, he said, I will be with you. Notice what he said in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has come upon you except what is common to humanity. But the Lord God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also provide a way out so that you may be able to bear it. That you can bear it. You know, we say, oh, God's not going to put more on you than you can bear. That's not a good translation of this passage of Scripture. Because he's saying, what you bear, I will come along and help with. I will be a part of that. I will help you. The great example, of course, is Job's suffering. One day, Satan came into God's presence and had a conversation with God. Now, this is a wild imagination for me. God and Satan standing face to face talking, and they had a conversation. And that conversation centered around the man Job. And God said Job was blameless and upright. And Satan said, of course he is, because you give him everything and you protect him. He's going to be the kind of guy you want. Take the hedge of a protection from around him. And let's see that he won't curse you and die. God said in Job 1:12, very well, the Lord said to Satan, everything he owns is in your power. However, don't lay a hand on Job himself, for Satan, and so Satan left the Lord's presence. Satan's goal was to kill faith. God's goal is always to build faith. Now think about this. This man lost everything. He lost his 10 children. And there he is out on the city dump, and he has broken glass that he's scratching the boils on his arms and legs and body to allow the infection to escape. And he's got three friends that come along to encourage him. Job, what in the world did you do? why is God doing this to you? Job wouldn't say anything. He rebuked him. Even his wife came along and said, Job, why you stay in this condition? Just cuss God and die and get it over with. And Job said, even if he slays me, I will not do that. I will remain faithful. And as we understand that kind of experience, we understand that no matter the pain you and I have, no matter the pain that the church at Smyrna was going to have, Jesus was with them. Paul's an example of suffering. Paul struggled with all kinds of things, but we know that he prayed 3 times for a thorn in the flesh to be removed. 3 times for this ailment, this problem, this experience to be taken away from him. Now think about that. Oh, we suspect many things that could have been Paul's problem. But there is that reality that he said, I asked God 3 times, and God said, nope, but my grace is sufficient. You can be faithful to me in spite of that. You can be used of me in spite of that. If you remain faithful and obedient, you can be used of me. Folks, it doesn't matter what's happening in our lives. If we're faithful to God, he will use us. Now realize that Jesus always limits Satan's power over us. While Satan may take our life, he cannot take our salvation or prevent us from going into the eternal throne of God for all of eternity. I hate to be personal, but you know, as I was riding in the ambulance from here to the hospital, I prayed that God's glory would be shown. I prayed for his glory. I had no idea what that was going to look like. Be quite frank with you, I didn't know then whether I was going to live or die. I didn't know if I was going to be paralyzed. I didn't know what was going to happen to me. But when I came out of surgery and I was laying in that hospital bed time and time again, somebody would walk into the room. And I would talk to them about Pinecrest Baptist Church and the Lord Jesus. My daughter finally said, Daddy, you can't start the conversation with where do you live with young women. You got to tell them who you are and what you're talking about before you ask them how close they are to Pinecrest Baptist Church. And over again, it was my attempt to glorify my Lord. I stand before you today with that same intention. I don't care what happens to me. I want God to have the glory. I stand before you with the power and strength like I haven't had for months because of God. Thursday, when she was singing, He Touched Me, it was all I could do to stand there, weeping because I realized what God did in touching me. But that's exactly what Jesus promised the church at Smyrna. Be faithful to the point of death. Our text tells us that the church of Smyrna in verses 10 and 11, be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Let everyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will never be harmed by the second death. I will give you the crown of life. The imprisonment will be short. And then I will give you the crown of life. The reward will be eternal at the throne of grace. Now understand, this crown is not a gold and jeweled encrusted device that will be placed on our heads. It's not an ornament that we will wear, strutting all over heaven saying, look what God gave me. No. It's not the device that a king or queen are going to wear or that do wear. Reality is, it was much like a flowered wreath. You know those garlands that we have? In that period of time when an athlete won a victory in the games, he was given a wreath that he would put around his neck that was made of flowers. I remember the first time I landed in Hawaii. They gave me the lei of the flowers. Oh, I was so proud of that thing. It was so pretty, but my nose was running continuously. I had to take it off. There is that kind of thing that we need to understand. We will acknowledge the athlete's victory. You will acknowledge the victory that Christ has given us. That wreath, that crown in the athlete's world soon faded. It would turn brown. And Jesus said, don't worry about those that kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. Rather fear him who is able to destroy both the body and soul. The crown of life can be yours. The Bible is very clear. Only those who accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and made him Lord, that's the boss of our lives, will be able to abide in heaven for eternity. Only those that are faithful unto death will be ushered into the presence of God. The victory will be mine. The victory will be yours only through our relationship with Jesus Christ. You remember he said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The one who is, who was, and who is to come. He is the living one. He was dead, but is alive forevermore. He holds the keys to heaven and hell. And he holds the stars in his hand, the pastors. And he walks in the golden lampstands, the churches. He is the one who wrote their names, who wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, indelibly with his blood. There are only so many people in our community, but most of them are living without hope. They don't have hope. They're in hospitals. They're attending funeral homes. They're in nursing homes. They're in beds in their own homes in hospice care. Some of you here today may be here without hope. If Jesus split the skies today, would you hear, depart from me, for I never knew you? Or would you hear, enter into the joys of your Lord and receive the crown of life? To receive the crown of life, you have to know him. And Jesus offers us that crown today. It's only through that confession of faith, it's only through that abiding presence of the Lord that we're going to receive the crown, that we're going to win the race of life and be ushered into the presence of God. Do you have the crown of life today? Do you understand that you may be separated from God? For the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But he also tells us, but God demonstrated his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And then he tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. What we earn in our lives, if we just do it by ourselves, is an eternity in hell. But he stands giving us a gift of eternal life. Oh, as we ended up the celebration of Awana the other night, so many of us received gifts, acknowledging the participation and our involvement in Awana. The children received gifts and badges and placed things of honor because they accomplished the steps to grow and mature. Think about that, the gift that God wants to give us. But he told us that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice it starts out with a confession of faith. You tell others about Jesus. Not only do you tell others, but you believe in your heart that God did raise him from the dead and give him eternal life, and he ascended back to heaven. So there is that way to gain the crown of life. Is he calling you to a relationship with him today? If you've never believed in Jesus as Lord, you have to confess Him as Lord. Then you do not have a personal relationship with Him. But to receive Him is as simple as the ABCs. First of all, you have to admit that you've sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then you have to believe Jesus Christ died for you. That is, you receive Him, you believe in His name, you trust Him, you have faith in Him, and you are given the right to be the children of God. You know, I can trust that pew would hold me all day long. But until I put faith in it and sit in it, I don't have true faith. That means I have to give myself over to the Lord. We believe, trust, have faith in Him. And then we confess Jesus as Lord. He said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes and is justified. With the mouth confessions are made and you are saved. There is that idea that He gave to the disciples, as you go, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. Make disciples is how He said it. And then baptize them, mark them as disciples. And then He said, teach them, mature them, grow them, develop them. Those are things that we as a church are supposed to do day in and day out. That has to be our focus as we live day by day. And the D in the ABC's D is that we have to dedicate ourselves to discipleship. I can't teach you unless you want to know. I can't teach you unless you participate. I can't teach you unless you pay attention. I can't teach you unless you want to learn. That's the same thing as what He's talking. It may be that you are a believer, but you're not living in Him and you're not serving Him. Today is the day to commit to serving Him. Now for you, it may mean you confess faith and ask for baptism. It may be today you need to understand you've done that in the past, but you want to renew. You want to rededicate that because you've not been living day in and day out. You've not been admitting and believing and confessing and dedicating yourself day in and day out. Maybe today is the day that you renew that. Maybe you need to become a part of Pinecrest Baptist Church for the express purpose to grow and develop and mature as a disciple of Jesus and help reach our community with the gospel. That's a part of the process. What I'm asking you today, is He calling you to a renewed relationship? Is He calling you to a relationship? I remind you of the commitment that you've made in the past. You need to be obedient to it. He's calling us to membership. He's calling us to faithfulness. He's calling us discipleship. The answer is, are you willing to suffer for Him and demonstrate that relationship? If you're not, then the crown of life is not going to be yours.